Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to The Magic Sponge with me, full-time devils, Ian Smith. Now, while Rob and Jimmy are off in the jungle eating testicles, I'm here in rainy London to introduce a special episode of all the best bits that we couldn't quite fit into the series so far, and I'll be guiding you through with my trademark monotonous northern voice. First up, Sam Parkin, the man who's been with more football clubs than all our guests put together. There's some stuff about getting spotted by the adoring public, but first up, Jimmy talks about his dad's weird habits after recovering from a stroke. Comedy gold.
So is that your dad's pub?
Yeah, yeah.
That story told about your dad's short trousers, the jogging bottoms.
Yeah, did I tell you that? He had a stroke recently, my dad, right? Sorry, I'm going to tell you. He had a stroke recently. He's lovely. He's much better now, so we can, like, cane him for it. But, I don't know how to start this. So, basically, he's upstairs in bed, and he shouts out, Lynn, like, that's my mum, come up here, like, and she's like, what's the matter with him now? So she's gone upstairs, and he's pulled up his tracksuit bottoms and he's gone, Lynn, like, what's the script here? Like, and she's gone, they're clean, like, ironed, what's the matter with you? He's gone, no, I like the creases down the front. Like, what, in tracksuit bottoms, are you sure? So my mum, from there, like, we had a stroke, what happens? It just changes your way of thinking, like, mad things. Like, he's done loads of other things that I'll tell you about after this. So basically now my mum, in his tracksuit bottoms, has to put, like, a sharp thing inside and really do a crease, like, as sharp as paper. Can you imagine me, old man, bowling at a pub with a pair of tracky bombs with the sharpest crease down the front? And guess what he holds them up with as well? Braces. So my old man had a bit about him. So he bowls in with sharp creases down the front of tracky bottoms that you could cut yourself on, and they're that sharp. I just cry. But he thinks it's normal.
Yeah.
So we go, Dad, you've never had that before. And he goes, yeah, I used to always have them. No, you didn't, son. You didn't. And also, he's got this fetish about cherries. He has a pummet of cherries every day. Never had a cherry in his life. Work that out.
That's a good fruit. Good fruit.
Yeah.
Good place to start.
Shitting like a dog is. So, yeah.
People recognise him from Full Time Devils.
That was brilliant. It's hard to put over on this, but if you was where we was,
I was giving Ian so much stick about Full Time Devils. Basically, we had to rearrange.
Had a trees
on test. We had to rearrange.
What's it, sitcom?
No, it's what saying, is it?
What is it? It's just like a YouTube channel. Oh, we do videos on this YouTube channel. It's like a Manchester United fan thing. So I just get my United fans coming up to me every now and then, asking for pictures. And I'm always really wary because I'm expecting someone to be like, are you full-time Devils? I'm like, yeah, I'm a Liverpool fan. Yeah, you know, they're about Liverpool, you prick, or something like that. So yeah. I'm just really, like, shy with them.
Yeah, I don't think you should be worried, mate. I've not exactly
seen him, Rob, just quickly.
Well, yeah, but I was giving him loads of stick because when we was arranging to do this podcast, it was quite hard getting everyone here, and then he was going, no,
you keep
no,
bringing this up.
No, I can't do Wednesday. I got full times Devils. We can never move that. All this, banging on about that. Well, all right, so I'll just move my meeting via TV. Don't worry about it, mate. You make sure you get your full time Devils yeah, recall exactly. day in. All this. So I've moved it all around. We've got, no, I can't do any other day. It's always been Wednesday. We've got more funding.
I didn't have to move nothing
back. So I'm giving him stick about full times Devils. I was giving a stick about full time Devils. We're in the pub. This bloke comes over. Jimmy Bullard, hello, are you alright? Can I have a photo? I love you. And, that. And I was like, oh, yeah. Getting ready for it, going, oh, God, bloody hell, another photo. Nightmare.
Can I know what Jimmy did first? Because this guy had, like, his dad, and he was like, my dad wants a photo with you. And his dad was sat down, and you looked at his dad and went, you can fucking stand up and come over here, mate.
I ain't going over there. I expect you to go over, didn't I? No, it don't work like that. Get over here. You lazy bastard. Come over here. And then he's looking at Ian, saying, I know him from somewhere.
No, because Rob says, like, so you said something like, do you want Ian's autograph?
Oh,
no, as well?
Oh, yeah, do you want Ian's then? Do you know? I went, do you want Ian's? And he went, yeah, all right. I was like, hang on.
Because, I mean, he went in my ear, Rob. He went, does he play football as well? I said, no, it's Ian, the comic. He went, Full-time Devils. And Rob Beckett went, oh, my God, he's only recognised him. I went, this is classic.
And even you was like, yeah, oh, was great. Oh, mate, this is brilliant.
And I took the photo as well, just, you know, yeah. to round it off.
So that was it.
He went, yeah, you're from Full-Time Devils, aren't you?
Well, 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 looks like Full-Time Devils was more popular than people thought. Where's Wally? He is right here. It's football hard man Wally Downs discussing drinking Jimmy under the table. Roy Hodgson gets a bit of a mauling, and Wally talks about some of his strange coaching tips.
Well, first time I met Wally was with Mr. Vinnie Jones, because they're great mates. They go back from the old Wimbledon days, obviously. And I remember with an agent, weren't it, Wally? Just my agent come
pick
me
up. You've been up the FA, you just got fined $100,000 or something.
That's right.
Fucking up that again.
What was
that
I don't for? Know. Shall I be honest? My dispute with Hole and stuff like that. I don't want to go into that. That's the reason why I was shitting myself meeting in the day. But no, I've gone in the motor, him and Vinny in the back. We've pulled up outside this hotel. First time I've met them both properly. Gone in the hotel. Vinny Jones has got a tracksuit on. So you got a picture of this, people. He's got a tracksuit on. Big medallion walks in. Wally's dressed half smart. Walks in the hotel. Vinny Jones going, can I have a bottle of champagne, please, sir? So that's his drink, a bottle of champagne. Wally walks in, goes, 6 Jager bombs. So I'm there going, are they having a laugh? Or what's the script here? I actually find out that that's it, exactly what they drink.
That's just your round.
All night, that's their round.
He's forgot to mention, when we picked him up in a motor, he's give it all like 2,000 footballers, you 80s boys, I'm going to put you away and all that. So we had a little nudge of one another. And
so basically, I can't remember the rest of the night after that, and I was in all sorts, and still recovering this fucking day. And this is why I'm a bit nervous. A big wall coming in.
Oh, really?
You're on the Summer Fruits Copperbergs when you're drinking now as well.
No, that's what I'm trying to say here. And he ordered 6 Jager bombs like it's going out of fashion.
Did he struggle? Wally?
He couldn't make the round out because he said to the fella, bottle of champagne, please. 6 Jager bombs. He said, no, who else? He said, no, they're for me. So he'd gone, he said, and I'll have a Budweiser, please. So we whacked ours down. He's still got the Budweiser in there. Like a bottle of champagne, please. 6 Jager bombs. You want another Budweiser, Jim? Yeah, he's half cut now.
$300,000 rounds anyway.
This is the first time I've ever tried the Jager bombs. Have one of them, Jim. They're all right. Oh, my God, I'm like, actually, I can't even see
you don't
straight.
Need the energy, really, do you?
Unbelievable. Like, it's mental.
Do you drink Jager bombs all the time?
No. And by the way, another one. Just so you know the angle I'm coming from with Wally. By the way, he's good mates with my manager then, Paul Jewell.
All right.
And I'll remember this well. Gets in the bat and he's like, I'm just going to pull. But what are you calling my manager for? The last thing I want him to know is I'm out having a drink. He's like, he's all right. He's a mate of mine. He ain't a mate of mine. He's my gaffer. Well, don't see that line. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, I got him with me. I speak to him. I'm like, melting in the back. So like, melting butter and a toast. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, and that was that.
I've got to say, I did the next morning. I woke up and I rang Vinny up.
How did you guys sleep after all those?
I didn't. I mean, it went right away. So I rang Vinny. I said, was there a ruck last night? He said, no. He said, I'll put you in a cab. I said, Yeah, it's coming back now. He said, but you fell out the other side. Like, he's put me in. I've got the handle. I've gone boink right out the other side. I had a big graze on my head. He said, I just said, oh, fuck it. Turn around and went back in and left you there.
All I remember, my manager called, well, my agent who was looking after me, called me. He goes, because I didn't know Vinny. I didn't have Vinny's number. And he went, Jim, don't like to ask, but you might have to sort something Bill out last night. What do you mean, some of the bill? It's like £1,500 we rate. There's only three of us. Like, what?
So he had four.
So I had to phone Billy and go, oh, just so you know, I didn't just chip off because, like, I was scared of the bill. It was like, I had to send him £300-400. It's so embarrassing. I didn't pay for none of my drink, basically. That's what I'm trying to get.
Well, you'd already done £100,000 on your fine.
I've done more than that.
Oh, really?
Got stung.
Did you find coaching, is your fun playing more fun than coaching? Is it, but you've got to be a bit more serious and in charge?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, but you just got to be yourself, whoever you are.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's no real super coaches around. It's not reinventing the wheel. It's about your personality and how you get it across. You know, there's a lot of some coaches are dour and just get on with it. And I've never spoken to him about it, but Roy does a lot of 11v11, which I know would bore the shit out of him. You know, he's not that sort of player. He just wants to get in amongst it. And
yeah.
But like Roy comes from that structured Italian background where a lot of it's shadow play and positional stuff and functional work. And some players don't like that. Some players don't, you know, they need to be shot.
He wants to play wall ball.
Yeah, but as a player, you know that. If your manager's coming from that, you know, you've got to respect that and know where he's coming from. But every play's different. I just found it's a fucking boring shepherd play. And Roy, and this ain't me, well, it is me slagging him off, but Roy would have more touches than me. I'm like, fucking hell, Gaffer, you're unreal. But I think he'd done it on purpose, because when we went out on a pitch set, and also he used to do a Friday session, was like, you know, you have a little game, don't you, 5-10 minutes. He would stop it after 3 minutes. I've only had three touches all fucking week. Like, and come a Saturday, I'll tell you what he was hungry for, the football.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's a bit of me thinking, was he just being a boring bastard all week on purpose? So Saturday come, he was a fucking animal for the ball, do you know what I mean? Because that did work, you know,
you just want to get involved.
He wouldn't let you touch the ball, seriously. He was that bad. Have you seen Roy's training?
Yeah.
He's like, he'd get the ball, play. And the keeper would have to kick it to him. And then he starts off all the play. And I said, why don't I start off all the play? I've got to do it Saturday. He'd say, sit there, Jim. Sit there.
Yeah, he's the one with a whistle, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the governor. 100%. You've got to respect that.
Was Huntley there when you were there?
Huntley, yeah. Cool, he ain't front of voice and opinion, is he? Fucking hell.
That was one of my innovative coaching moments. He's having a dodgy time, aren't he, at Reading. He's really, really intense and he really wants to do well.
Who's this? Which player?
Stephen Hunt.
I just put him on opposites. He said, what? Like, proper. I said, well, you know when you get down the wing and you think you're going to cross it? I said, don't. I said, shoot. I said, when are you going to shoot? I said, you know, pass it. What do you mean? He said, so everything you're fucking doing at the moment is wrong. I said, so just do the fucking opposite and you'll be all right.
Did it work?
Yeah, he's a good boy, aren't he?
Yeah.
He probably got that, didn't he?
Yeah,
probably.
Another time with him, he was taking corners when we was at Brentford. And I used to do the set plays and Steve would be standing there. And Auntie used to whazz him in really good. And all of a sudden, he's had about three games where he's fucking putting them behind a bar, kicked the corner flag, all the usual lot. So the Friday morning, he's like a bag of all doves out there. He's going like that. So I said, right, corner, Auntie. And I'm walking across there and Paul Evans was the captain. He said, well, don't have a go at him, he's shitting himself about the day. So Cottle stand there and he heard it and said, Steve's got me. He responds better to abuse. Fucking liven yourself up, man. Get the fucking ball in. What the fuck you think? Whack, straight in. Terrific.
Really?
You couldn't put your arm around him. You've got to get him.
Give it, yeah.
Steve says it. He responds better to abuse. Perfect.
Amazing, isn't it? That actually goes on. 76 England caps. It can only be the man, the myth, the legend, Emil Heskey. He's still looking for a club, so someone snap him up before he's forced to go back to Australia too.
Right, last story is you are never too old. Former Wimbledon keeper Dave Besson was named as a Stevenage sub.
Emil disagrees with that. He's still looking for a club.
55 years and he was on the bench. When you're looking for a club, when do you reckon you'll retire, Emil?
You've
got a limit on it.
When I can't find a club.
Basically, he's retired.
You must have had some offers, didn't you? Could you have stayed in Australia longer?
Yeah, I could have stayed in Australia. It's a bit far, though, isn't
it? A bit of a long way away, isn't it?
It's a bit of a trek. No one comes and visits, no one talks.
Have you had any offers?
No, I haven't. Well, I've had a few lower leagues, but not for me.
What league?
League One.
League One?
Yeah.
So you're looking Championship or Prem?
Yeah.
You know?
We'll just take our time and see what happens.
I know.
There'll be a club come sniffing at
some. Well, now this has gone out.
January window, you watch.
Yeah, well, Dave Besson, he's still going, 55. Well, it's only because he stepped in because of
Bess,
injury.
He coached me at Fulham. Is he still good? He ain't playing.
Did you not listen to anything I just said?
No. You fucking bore me sometimes.
I'm surprised halfway through.
I just said.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's on the
former
bench.
Former Wimbledon keeper Dave Besson was on the bench at the weekend at the age of 55 for Stevenage because they had an injury class, so he was a substitute.
Yeah, Stevenage ain't a football club, though, are they? Never been a club. Stevenage.
No, but he's, I've just said for 55, that's quite.
It's fucking old. He's only a keeper, though, isn't he?
He's only a keeper. Do you reckon you would have a changed position? Like Giggs did, didn't
he? They got a football club down in Stevenage.
No, it's
just
a goal.
Yeah.
Never heard
No. Once the legs go, then that's me. I'm not running.
Because I reckon Rooney might end up going midfield when he gets a bit older.
He could play midfield now if he wanted to.
No, but like, as he's probably. He's mainly a striker, isn't he, at Man United?
Behind the front, man. Number 10.
Number 10.
Skipper.
MK Dons. You went to MK. You said MK Dons for 6 weeks, didn't you? You at the end of your career?
Yeah. Just went there for 6 weeks, basically. And then.
It's a short contract, isn't it?
Yeah, no, he signed me up until Christmas. So I had 3-4 months there. And then I took an injury, to be fair. I took a whack to my leg. And then he played a centre-half in the hole, put a number 10 jersey, which is my position. And I just thought, oh, this ain't getting real. And I just jumped ship, really. But I loved it there. Good club. Just shame it didn't last longer than 6 weeks, really.
Oh.
But there you go.
But you've got politics now, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, I've got plenty of bows in my tie.
Plenty of pop, pardon?
Is that kind of right?
You got plenty of boats for your tie.
Strings to your bow, maybe?
Strings boats for my tie. How big's your fucking tie, mate? You need a boat to carry it. You've got a kipper tie.
We'll edit that, don't we?
Bows for your tie.
Yeah, we've got loads of bows for my tyres and stuff.
You know, I think I have to wrap this up. He's lost it.
Oh, but it's fucking, honestly, that's long enough.
So, if anyone knows a football club that's looking for a big, lumbering, 6'7" or whatever he is striker, get in touch with Esky's agent, because he's still got the legs for it. Now, I wasn't here when Adam Virgo joined us on the podcast, and you may remember me phoning in with some questions for snooker trickster John Virgo. My mistake, but here he is, that's Adam Virgo, not John Virgo, talking about celebrations and hard bastards on the pitch. Snookery Duke tonight, big break.
Have you ever injured yourself celebrating?
I didn't score enough to celebrate.
Well, I didn't. Mate, you need to make the most of it when you do, though.
Usually a consolation, you have to run and get the ball out of the net. Run back to the halfway line.
I used to go nuts when I scored. I didn't score a lot. No. Yeah, I'm a playing midfield, so I didn't score great low. But yeah, whenever I scored, I made the most of it. I got booked. I celebrated for about a minute and a half. And I remember celebrating, and then the ref called me back, and then I made out, I turned around, and the ref was all going, and I went back to the crowd, and I went, again, the ref was like, but I come on, and I've done him again, I went back again. So in total, it was for about 2 minutes, and he got the card out, but I'm like, oh, come on, for God's sake, I need a little bit of banter. That was funny, because the crowd knew, and I was all going, again, that was loved it.
Have you ever scored an own goal?
I've scored an OG, put it in top comedy. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, that's awful, isn't it?
At Cardiff, mine was at Ninian Park as well.
Oh, that's an art. Yeah, that was... That ground was proper intimidating.
Yeah, it was awful. Wasn't he?
Leo Fortune West player. Remember him?
Yeah, he was playing. Oh, yeah.
He was a monster, he was.
What, he clatter you?
Oh, he was like a big centre forward. Like, he is an absolute monster. But then, like, it's weird, eh? You see players on a pitch like that, and I see him afterwards, and he's dressed up, and he'd go, oh, hello.
Good game
like,
today.
How are you, like, you ain't the same fella, surely, it's on the pitch, because he's used to sharpen elbows and open people up, like, it's a joke. Like, and his song was, Leo, fuck him up, Leo, fuck him up. And he'd come off, and he's, like, dressed like a librarian, and taught me, like, a bank clerk. I'm like, what has gone on here? I don't understand, like, you're a horrible man on that pitch, and then you're a nice man in the world. I don't understand this. But you do meet, like, I played with Michael Brown as well at Fulham.
Yeah.
Like, on the pitch, he is disgusting. Like, once at Old Trafford, Giggs, he slid off with, like, in a bundle, and he's literally just stamped on his back like that. Crunch. Red card. It's red card all that. But he's the nicest bloke off the pitch. Mm. Hasn't got that in him. Bit of a shitbag, to be honest. Bit of a coward. Yeah. On the pitch, he's an animal.
Like, really?
He's yardish, like he's the dirtiest player I've ever played with.
I think Ben was going back to Ben Thatcher, but he was better. Yeah. He was like him and Kevin Muscat, like the worst.
I'd never play with Muscat, but I've seen some tackles. And they're like
you just YouTube
height.
Kevin Muscat.
Neck height, and he's like,
what have I done?
What are you on about, ref? He ducked. No, he didn't duck. No, you've jumped and still got him round the neck. Scissors.
Next up, we've got Craig Fags Fagan, Jimmy's former Hull City teammate, and he's chatting to us about pranking, losing his temper, and Jimmy's piss-poor motivational speaking.
Didn't you two used to wind each other up in the whole change room? With like, because the pranking stuff gets out of hand.
Oh, yeah, nah, but that was part of it, yeah. We had loads of stuff going on, like people's gear getting cut and...
Yeah,
but what happens when someone cut, like... Because if someone, like... If I went back to the toilet and I come out and Ian had cut up my coat... I'll be like, what are you doing? That's my coat. But in football, it's just like, that happens.
It weren't like severe stuff like that. It weren't like coats. But like, say like if you come in a dodgy pair of pants and socks and like laces.
Yeah.
And you come back and like all your laces are cut or other things like folding your shoes. You know, like if you fold them into like a ball and then like tie your laces around. It's basically like your shoe is a ball. We used to do stuff like that.
It
always used to happen. Yeah, it was just silly. But just to lighten the mood. Do you know what I mean, Jim? Yeah.
Just something to do, isn't it?
Dour sometimes. Even though we've got a great job in football, sometimes you do go and go, fuck me, what is this? Where am I? Get me out of this shithole.
If you are like Arsenal lost losing 3-0, what, you know, like Phil Brown had a go at you on the pitch and stuff, and sometimes they can bollock you. But what gets you? No, you ever had a manager say something or do something that really gets the team going again, or like a motivational speech? In my head, it's like Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday. You know, he does that massive speech at the end.
I've never had a manager give off a pucker speech.
Really?
That really got you going? No, never really.
Kind of motivated to do it yourself, ain't you, anyway?
If you need someone to motivate, I think you're struggling from day one. But no, I've never had a...
Like a passionate speech from a manager?
Or skip it a stand-up, nah. Of women, really, who I played with. No, I never had anyone doing it. The thing that Phil Brown had, and I was using Phil here, probably because crazy, but he'd put you on your toes. Like, first time I was there, I remember I went in West Ham, I signed on the Sunday. We played against West Ham on a Tuesday night. Yeah,
night.
I was on the bench and I come on with Fags, he said. Like, I'm there, and they've lost something like 14 games in a row, and I'm there, whatever. Like, and I'm sitting down and he just goes, Jim, what do you think about us then? And I just went, like, what do you want me to say then? Like, what are you expecting me to come out of this massive, like, don't worry. And I'll come out with saying shit, like, don't worry, there's no need to panic. I'm here.
To be fair, I think I looked and I thought, is it sure?
No, of course I didn't.
It was similar, like... Right, don't worry, like, we've got this. There's still plenty of time left in the season or something. I was, like, looking at Jim thinking, I'm like Maradona.
One, public speaking I'm shit at. Two, I don't know any of the boys.
Yeah.
And whatever I say, I know I could be held here. I could be, in a couple of weeks' time, once I settle in, I could be absolutely destroyed. So I'm thinking, Jim, don't make a prat of yourself. Let's all not panic.
It's going to
be
all right.
There's only three games left. We're bottom of the league. It's going to be all right. Yeah, it's one of them. So he wouldn't put you on your toes. You get what I mean?
Like, yeah.
What do you think? Bang.
Can you remember how many... Jimmy, how many yellow cards did Craig get? And Craig, how many
fucking
yellow cards
loads.
Did
he love them. Right, he would 2 foot someone around the neck, yeah, right, and go, what's he doing, ref, diving? Like, he was the worst. Yeah, he was. And then loved an argument. Oh my God. Yeah, if the ball weren't, say he was on down like as 100% ball and you didn't play it, he'd be like, fucking hell, Jim, any chance then? I'd be like, all right, Craig, but he'd carry it on, mate. Like, yeah, any chance, though.
Yeah. He was murdered. Just to let you know, wasn't I?
Yeah,
just to
he
let
was
you know.
Murder, but he used to, he used to cause egg fakes.
You used to get angry then when you played?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any fights?
Nah, it's because. You care, I don't know. I used to care a lot, you know what I mean? So I used to just wind me up a little bit.
Yeah.
But fights when I was playing? Not really.
Just arguing.
To be fair, there was a few at the training ground. Like, I don't know if he was there when there was a couple of the foreign lads there.
Who like?
Who was you fighting with at the training?
I had one fight with Manucho. I don't know if you would have heard of him. Oh, he come on loan from Man U. And he'd played about 4 or 5 games, hadn't really done anything. And then we had like this 5-a-side competition and his team won and he scored the winning goal. And he was off running around training ground like with his arm in the air like Shearer. I was like, who the fuck's this? When we signed him, I had head loss. So I had to tell him just like rein it in and turn it in on a Saturday. You needed to just like put your ideas up, mate, and start playing.
And then
he was like, right, I'll see you in the chain room. So obviously went to go in there. He lost it, didn't he?
His arse
didn't turn up, did he?
Oh yeah,
did
Craig. He,
that was it. He never said anything.
If Craig, I've got to be honest. If Craig, why am I calling you Craig? Fakes didn't think it was right. He'd pull you up on it. You pull me up a couple of times. But there's a few things he'd be like, no, you shouldn't be doing that.
It's not big issue. Like, you took it, though, didn't you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
you'd rather me say.
100%. Then go behind the back and go, Jimmy's fucking wanking. He will pull you up.
Yeah.
Pull me up a couple of times on certain things, yeah. But that's what he's about. And, yeah, his frustration comes more, not just because he wants to do it, you know, which I like. You know, I've always liked that in players. I'd rather that than... You know, you get players that really don't really care. You know what I mean?
That don't
care as much as perhaps others, if you want. And he was one that really cared. And perhaps, if you want to say too much, where he'd fucking have a go, you know, it'd go off sometimes, yeah. That's what he was about. But, yeah, not in a, cheers, you know, not horribly. It's just...
Yeah, so many yellow cards did you have.
Everyone's so different, aren't they? Yeah. Everyone's so different.
The way you're describing that, it's like you're going to say 100 yellow cards now, by the way, mate.
I guaranteed he got double what I got, at least, in his career.
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't get any.
No, I told you he didn't.
Because I was one of them who didn't care.
He didn't defend, that's right.
Yeah, it's hard to get a yellow card for overlapping, isn't it?
No, shall I tell you what it is? I play footy, right, and this is where we spoke about this on this show before, like the Wayne Rooney, but Fags plays with aggression on his sleeve and... with aggression, if you want. I don't play with aggression.
No.
Do you get what I mean? I'm going for a tackle, don't get me wrong. He's just one aggressive fucker. No, this is what I was saying. Like, Rooney, like, every word is a swear word. And it's everything, right? Where I'm the other end of that. I don't... He needs that to play at his best. I'm like,
yeah, you could
say. Don't worry about that. He's like, at the fucking rest, pull me up for each time, not having it. Like, everything matters to him, where me, not so much. But you're still trying to achieve the same thing.
But just in different ways.
Everyone's different, and you get the. He's that end, and he is really that end, Rooney end, and I'm that end.
Who with? You and.
I like myself, not in his. But Gazza, where, you know, he'd never, like, be a grit. He'd hit a tackle and all that, but he'd never be like fuming and great. I'd always get that jokey side from him where it ain't the end of his world. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. That's what I am, but FaZe is the other end and go animal on people. But that's it. That's what I think. Am I about right?
No, you're about right,
isn't it?
Yeah. So, Spawn?
Yeah.
Good, how many of the cards was it?
Craig got 7 and 1 red.
In one season, was it?
Yeah. Oh, that's not too bad.
That was West Ham as well, I remember that.
What did you get it for? 2 yellows.
Two yellows.
Late tackles, guaranteed.
And then when I walked in, drug test.
No.
How's me day?
With a spliff in his gob.
Drug test. A nightmare.
And then Brownie was like, because I was meant to be staying down, I was meant to be going out, taking Mrs. out. Brownie then had one of his paddies and was like, right, no one's staying off. Everyone's back on the coach. We go back into Hull. We're in the next day.
Oh no.
I was like, killed myself.
Yeah.
Cheers, Brownie.
Last but not least, we've got our bubbler from another muvler. He's not a schmock, it's Monster, Eric Hall. In his typically long-winded style, he tells us about Freddie Mercury being in love with him and writing the song Killer Queen about him. I'm still not convinced, so I challenged him with some of the song's lyrics. There's also something about a woman holding an apple in New York, and Rob tries to get Eric to shut up. Can he do it? Have a listen.
What was he saying about the Queen thing? Is it true that Freddie Mercury wrote Killer Queen about you?
And I also know something else. Freddie Mercury used to fancy you, didn't he?
Well, that's part of the same story, Bubbly, yeah.
Did he?
He used to, madly in love with me.
What? He was madly in love with you?
I swear to Emma. Emma's the Jewish word that got the truth, yeah. You won't believe it now. Look at me. I'm an old schmuck. But he did, yeah.
Really?
I used to have my hair permed in those days. And we used to...
Sorry!
No, I imagine that because...
Like Brian May.
Be quiet, Bubba.
Freddie Mercury, just because like I'm not one.
Very good. I've like a Jewish Brian May.
Be quiet, Bubba.
It was Brian May.
Oh, God!
It was Brian May and Eric Wharton.
How did you know he liked you then?
He told me, Paul, he tried to pull me 3-4 times.
Really?
Tell him a story, Eric.
How does Freddie Mercury, God rest his monster soul, how does Freddie Mercury, God rest his monster soul, try and pull you? What was his pulling technique?
Well, I remember I helped to sign, I went from Angle Don Arden, a management company, whose daughter is now very famous, Sharon Osbourne, or Sharon Arden, when she was a secretary in the office. But an EMI poached me to come and run their label.
Yeah.
Because they just set up a new label, which was like a different... They had EMI, all their labels, but it's like their own... Just one EMI label. Parlophone, Columbia, Da-da-dama, doo-doo-doom. They just had one label.
I've never heard of Da-da-dama.
No, no, very good label, very good label. And Rolf Harris was signed to him.
Oh, God.
Oh. Is...
What? I'd like to see you negotiate a new deal for him.
What, with his extra leg? Dilly, dilly, dilly. You wait till it comes out, Bubba. You wait. Okay, magazine, wait. It ain't such a bad idea.
Okay.
So they said, come and join the new label. I said, in one condition, I'll join your label. There's rumours around that a group called Queen, everybody wanted them. Mm. Bit funny thing relating to football, it's like when Gather become available, everybody wanted Gather. Mm. So I said, are you definitely going to sign Queen? I said, if you sign Queen, then I will join you as head of promotion. And they did sign Queen.
Okay.
So, I mean, when I say it was through me, it wasn't. But it was part of me saying that. I think I would have signed them anyway.
Yeah.
So I promoted all their records and things. That's when I first met Freddie. I was their plugger. I mean, one of my, I suppose, achievements, if it's the right word, or what I'm very proud of, is that, you know, there's a poll nearly 3 times a year of famous videos, the best videos, the best pop records. And Bohemian Rhapsody... always come first.
Yeah.
I plugged it. So, you know, so that's one of my things I did, apart from other records too. So it goes to the point, Freddie comes to see me one day in the office at EMI, Manchester Square, London. Yeah. And he said, me and Roger come to play you a new single. We come off whatever the record was before that. And he puts this sort of big Ewan machine in those days about fashion things, sticks on, pushes the button. And he's Moe Shendon in his fancy cabinet, da-ba-da, hair like Mary Antoinette. Ah. And I used to, even now-ish, but smother myself with perfume and things. I put a load of cologne and aftershave. So, oh, I love it, boy. It's going to be here. Monster hit. We've got big money here, Fred. No, my dear. You're not listening to it. So I'm listening to it. Put it on again, Roger. Put it on again. Listen. No, son, it's great. He said, no, you're not listening. I said, well, he said, you don't understand. It's about you. It's about me. What do you mean about me? Well, he said, I'm gay. I mean, not me. I mean, this is Freddie talking. I'm Queen. I'm gay.
Was he?
No, only on Tuesday. Yeah. He helps out with empathy sometimes. Yeah. They're very busy in the 70s. He said, I'm gay. And I can't have you. You're killing me. So, Eric, you're a killer queen. That's a switch.
Can I? I've got.
We've How
got
old was she when this was this was?
No, so it was late 20s, 30s.
Yeah, so it's sort of like Eric prime. All in his prime. Yeah. This is just sort of your top of your
big
game.
Big perm.
Hair perm.
Perfume all over.
Hair like Mary
Antoinette. Monster. Yeah. I'd never seen what Ray looks like.
I kept fancy just like, Shandon in my fancy cabinet.
Well, you got the lyrics here, haven't you, Ian?
So there's just like Mary Antoinette. There's a stuff about perfume and stuff. What ones? Dynamite with a laser beam. What experience do you have with laser beams?
No, they always thought that I was kind of like a bit now, a bit older now, much older now. I was like quick, you know, dynamite.
Have you ever met a man from China? It says, to avoid complications, she never kept the same address.
I moved my flat about 4 times.
And then spoke just like
rented.
A baroness.
I didn't buy, I rented in those days.
Yeah.
So met a man from China, went down to Geisha Minor.
Geisha, there's a clue there, Geisha.
Yeah.
G-A-Y, Geisha. It's not G-A-Y.
Perfume came
out. We
used
to a Chinese gay club in Waldorf Street.
Oh, did you?
Which was a gay, because China, even now, Waldorf Street, very sort of Chinese restaurant orientated in London.
Chinatown, isn't it?
Chinatown, correct. Well, Berwick Street, Brewer Street. And there was a gay bar there. And Freddie used to love it there, the Chinaman who run the gate, you know, which you would do in Chinatown.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be, yeah.
It's going to be, you know, it won't be like an Italian, like
Scalini.
Sandman said finish now.
One more story. Do you one more story before we go?
Yes.
Might as well. Artificial pitches.
In what could have been
a game-changing moment for English football, League One and League Two club chairman voted on Thursday on whether to bring back artificial pitches. The vote was tied, which rules out the prospect of plastic pitches being used in the lower leagues next season. Our Football League chief, Sean Harvey, hinted that discussions will continue and did not rule out another vote down the line.
Tied out of how many people? Not half the country. He's exactly tied.
No, but it's not the whole country. It's not like a referendum on.
Oh, right. Who's voted him? Well, why is it just down to 12 people or something?
Because it's down to all the chairmen of the clubs. So if they all agree, they can.
Oh, right. And it's tied.
Yeah, well, yeah, if there's 20 clubs and 10 said yes, 10 said no.
Not a chance has it gone half the RFC.
What is wrong with you?
Absolute waffle, that is. Again. Like, where are you getting this? Do you reckon that? If there was... Did you get that, Eric?
No.
Does he not listen?
I'm not listening.
So there's AstroTurf pitches. They want to make a comeback. They've asked 20 chairmen in one league.
What's the Stan Bowles story about them?
No, not the Stan Bowles story. That should be the question.
No, hell,
you're not allowed to do your Stan Bowles story. I'll put my foot down.
No, Eric, I don't like it. What do you prefer?
Oh, no, you'll mention Thames Television again. No, Eric.
No. What do you prefer, they said?
LWT,
Sam,
no.
Do you prefer artificial pitches or grass? Yeah, I've never smoked artificial pitches.
Okay, cool. That wasn't bad, actually. I probably could let that one go.
Yeah.
That was quite a quick one.
That was Eric Hall managing to squeeze in one last bubbler right at the end. Thanks for listening. That was some of the best bits that didn't quite make the series. Keep your ears peeled for a Christmas special coming soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no! Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
I know what this one is.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.